Can we turn to 2 Kings chapter 4? Before I read a few verses, I'd like to read a few verses in hymn. I believe it is. I'll have to turn the index, but I believe it's 334. Yes. I like to read this hymn and connect with what's on my heart. Through the love of God our Savior, all will be well. Free and changeless is His favor, all is well. Precious is the blood that healed us, perfect is the grace that sealed us. Strong the hand stretched forth to shield us, all must be well. Though we pass through tribulation, all will be well. Ours is such a full salvation, all is well. Happy still in God confiding, fruitful if in Christ abiding, holy through the Spirit guiding, all must be well. We expect a bright tomorrow, all will be well. Faith can sing through days of sorrow, all is well. On our Father's love relying, Jesus every need supplying, or living or dying, all must be well. The writer of this hymn was bereaved of her husband when she was 21 years old. And she wrote this lovely hymn. Through the love of God our Savior, all will be well. I'd like to now read in 2 Kings 4, begin to read from verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season, that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God, and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass, and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, The child is not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore, and shut the door upon them both, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hand upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi, and said, Call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son, and went out. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. Well, we'll just stop there. I'm sure that we can all enter into this little story we've read in 2 Kings. I'm sure we can all feel what this mother felt at the loss, the death of her little son. I was thinking in connection with this, how this woman, Scripture speaks about her as a great woman. She was a great woman. And we find that in verse 8, that Elisha passed by her house, and she constrained him to eat bread. In other words, she made him so welcome that every time he passed by that way, he knew he was welcome to go into that house. There was a place there for him. And so he was provided with food. But you know, this woman, she wasn't satisfied just with giving him a meal. She wanted to do something more, because she perceived that he was a holy man of God. And you know, the Lord won't be a debtor to anyone that does something for him as unto him. And so we find that this woman is going to be rewarded for what she has done for God's servant. And so we find now, going on quickly, that Elisha says to Gehazi, his servant, call this woman. And now this woman is given the opportunity to ask for favor, and Elisha would speak to the king or the captain for her. But she doesn't ask for anything. And she says, I dwell amongst mine own people. And so Gehazi tells Elisha in verse 14 that she had no child. Her husband was old, and she didn't have a child. Well, here we see Elisha showing grace. He wants to do something for this dear woman. And so he called her in, and he could say to her, in verse 16, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Well, this woman, she thought that was impossible. And beloved, sometimes there comes things into our lives that we think that there's no way out, and it is impossible. But oh, beloved, with God all things are possible. And when we say that, we are reminded of Romans 8 and 28, that all things work together for good to those that love God. And oh, beloved, there's no good thing that he will hold from those who walk uprightly. And so this dear woman, she had the fear of God. She recognized Elisha was a dear man of God, and she wanted him to abide in her home. And so he was made welcome in her home. And you know, those of us who go around, we do appreciate being made welcome in the saint's home. And how nice it is. And the Lord will reward each one in his own time. And so here we find that Elisha says, you're going to have a son. Well, she thought it was impossible. Beloved, all things are possible with God. And never let us doubt him. And now the Lord is going to test her faith. She has granted a son. And but when this child was grown, as he went out to his father, why, he took sick. And he cried, my head, my head. Well, the father commands a servant to carry him back to his mother. And then we can just see this dear mother taking that sick child on her knee. And there she held him. Some of us know what it is to hold a sick child on our knee. Some of us know what it is to walk the floor for hours and hours and not see any sign of relief. But oh, you know, when we walk the floor, when we don't know what to do, we can pray. And often God allows these sorrows and these trials and testings into our lives to bring us to our knees. And so, this dear woman, She had this little son. He sat on her knees till noon, and he died. Oh, what a sad, sad thing this was for this woman. But you know, she had faith. She had faith in the man of God. And so she sends for her husband and says, "Bring one of the young men and an ass, that I may run to the man of God and come again." She had faith. And God allows these trials to test our faith, beloved. And Hebrews 11 reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And God loves to see faith in Him. And so this woman, she starts off on this journey to the man of God. Her husband says, "Well, it's not a new moon." In other words, this is not the time for the man of God to come this way. But there was that faithless woman, and she went and she found him. She went to him. And we find that Elisha saw her coming, and he sends his servant. But this woman wouldn't tell the servant what is the matter. And so in verse 25, it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run, I pray thee, and say unto her, Is all well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And notice the answer. She answered, "It is well." I wonder whether you and I would say that. If we had a little one that died, and there they are laying on the bed, dead, would we have to say it as well? Would we have that faith? It is well? Well, where there is true faith, we know that with God all things can work out for good. So she said, "It is well. It is well." Now, in connection with that, I'd just like to turn to a Hosea for one verse. And we'll come back to it. But in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." Stop there. Then shall we know. There are many difficulties and problems that we cannot understand why God, who loves us, would allow this circumstance to come into our lives. But oh, beloved, you and I can just trust the Lord. Then shall we know if we follow on. And I want to say this. If you're going to follow the Lord, you have to keep your eyes upon Him. You have to keep your eyes upon the Lord. You can't follow a person in this life through a city unless you keep your eye upon Him. And there are so many things in following behind someone in a city. There's so many cars, and finally someone darts in front of you and comes in between you and the one you're following. And the further you go, it gets a little bit more difficult. And so the only way is to keep just as close as possible to the one you are following. And so, beloved, how we need to keep close to the Lord. If we're going to follow Him, we have to keep close to Him. Could it be said that we are keeping close to the Lord if we neglect to read His Word? If we don't begin the day with getting on our knees before Him and praying, could it be said of us that we really fear the Lord and we're following Him? Oh, beloved, if we don't read the Word of God, may I say this? And it's the language of another that I enjoyed when he said, "It is the blood that cleanses from our sins. But it's the Word of God that makes us sure." And if we don't read the Word of God, why, we might be uncertain. And if we don't read the Word of God, we won't know just what to do or how to please him. And so how important it is to follow the Lord himself. And perhaps we won't understand immediately why the Lord allows things to come into our lives. But if we just leave it with him and follow him, how nice it is, then shall we know. The coming day will manifest everything, too. Well, this woman, she could say it is well. And now we find that this woman would not leave Elisha unless he went with her. And so we find, although the Lord sends Gehazi to go, this woman would not go with Gehazi. She stayed by the man of God. Her faith was in him. And so we find that the prophet could say, let her alone, in verse 27, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me. Sometimes we wonder why. Sometimes it seems like the Lord is hiding something from us. But what are we to do? Just keep waiting upon him. And so the prophet, he didn't know what the trouble was until this woman came. And when the woman said to him, in verse 28, then she said, did not I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? You know, there was a lack of faith there at the beginning. And the Lord is going to test her faith. And now her faith is triumphant because she could say it is well with the child. It is well. Isn't that nice? And there she stays with the man of God until he goes with her. And so in verse 32 going down, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. Well, we might say, naturally, impossible. Impossible now to do anything. He's dead. But you know, beloved, with God, all things are possible. I often say every time a soul accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's a miracle because they're born again. They're born of the Spirit. And so there's nothing too hard for God. And Elisha, he enters the house, and let's notice carefully verse 33. The child is in the room, and he's dead. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. That's the first step. He went in, and there's the child, dead. He prayed. I wonder, beloved, is that our pattern? When it seems that things are hopeless to us, there's no way out, do we enter into the room and pray? I leave each one to answer that for themselves. Often we have to confess we neglect it. But he prayed unto the Lord, and then he went and laid upon the child and put his mouth to his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands. He stretched upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Oh, how nice. And then we find that he returned and walked in the house to and fro. And then he did the same thing again and stretched upon the child, and the child sneezed 7 times, sign of life, and opened his eyes. Well, how wonderful. And so, dear Elisha, had that wonderful privilege to prove the Lord to, and the Lord answered his prayer, and he has that wonderful privilege to give that son back to his mother. Oh, how wonderful. And may I say this? If there's one here not saved, you're like this child. You're dead. Every unsaved person is dead. No life. And it is only the Lord that can give you life. And how wonderful He does promise to give a new life. Yes, it's the life of Christ to those who trust Him. But you know, naturally, the work is all God's work. Man cannot do anything. Man can only present the gospel. We are helpless to do any more. But oh, with the Lord, why, He can do all things. And I say this, perhaps there may be a mother in this room, and you have a son or daughter, and they're dead. I don't mean physically dead, but they're dead in trespass and sin. Oh, that you and I might have the faith of this dear woman. She trusted the Lord. She could say, "It is well." Oh, that we might have that faith. And so as I think of Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. As I close, I like to give a little illustration of what faith is. Because there are young people, there are children, and if you've heard me use this illustration before, forgive me. About many years ago, in the island of St. Vincent, in the assembly there, speaking to children, I found it hard just to arouse the interest of those children and get them to understand me. And I wanted to teach them what faith meant. And so I saw a little bright-eyed girl looking at me intently. And I said, "Will you come up and stand beside me?" And she came up to the front. And I lifted her up on a table that was there. And I stood back and I said, "Jump and I'll catch you." Well, she looked down. And she was afraid. She was afraid to jump. In other words, she manifested clearly that she really didn't trust me. And so I lifted her down and set her on the floor. She went back to her seat. And then I said, "Is there someone else that would trust me?" And this time a boy came up. And I lifted him up on the table. And I stood back. And he jumped. And I caught him. And he was a heavy boy. And it was kind of hard to hold him, but I didn't let him go. And so I sat him down on his feet, and he went back to his seat. That boy manifested he had faith in me, or he wouldn't have jumped. If he thought I was going to let him fall, or I was unable to hold him, he wouldn't have jumped. Because if he did, he had hurt himself. It was a long way down. Last year, in the absence of a good many years, I was back in that same little meeting room. And a great big young man came up to me. And he said, "Do you remember that little boy that jumped into your arms?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I'm that little boy." Well, I say this, how nice it is to just trust the Lord in all our circumstances, no matter what happens. May we be able to say like this Shunammite woman, "It is well."
Our brother mentioned the matter of prayer. One would like to turn to two or three scriptures in that connection. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6 and 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Praying always with all prayer. Here it is given as part of the armor of God. Praying always with all prayer. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And then we have in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, we like to think that we can do the little things ourselves. But we find in John's Gospel 15, the last clause, shall we say, of the fifth verse, without me, ye can do nothing. Now, dear ones, if we're going to do anything for the Lord, it must be He is the one that does it. Without me, ye can do nothing. And so here, be careful for nothing. Be without worry, I believe we could say. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, yes, make everything a matter of prayer. It shows our dependence on that one by whom alone anything can be accomplished. In everything, by prayer and supplication. Doesn't say here that he's going to grant everything we ask for, but he would ask us to make it a matter of prayer. Whatever the need is, make it a matter of prayer. In everything, by prayer and supplication. I believe it bring before us that it should be earnest prayer. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I sometimes thought of it in this way. I'm worried about something, and so I go to a friend and I tell him that I'm worried. He says, what's the trouble? So I tell him what the trouble is. And he would say, now, just leave the whole thing with me, and I'll look after it for you. Oh, I say, thank you so much. You've taken such a load off my mind. Well, my friend hasn't told me how he's going to do it, but I have confidence in him. And so the Lord tells us to make our requests known unto him. And there should be thanksgiving. And with the burden rolled away, says the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, I believe it will bring before us that one to whom we address our prayer, the peace of God. Nothing disturbs the throne of God. He knows the end from the beginning. And that one whom we have in 2 Corinthians, we might just turn to it for a moment. Did I get it right? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Yes, that one who is our Father, knowing Christ is our Savior. God is our Father, and He is the Lord Almighty. Oh, nothing that He cannot accomplish. no circumstance of our lives that he cannot pick us, pluck us out of. Oh, he may allow the circumstance for our own good and our blessing. He may see fit to leave us in those circumstances until we have learned some lesson he would teach us. But still, he would have us make everything known to him. He would take the burden from us. He would have us to enjoy that peace that he knows. And enjoying that peace, I believe the following verse would show us we're set free to be occupied with Christ. Well, there's another scripture we might turn to in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Here we find Nehemiah in a very high position, the king's cupbearer, there before the Persian king. Some come to him and tell him of the desolation of Jerusalem. Verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He had a resource. He turned and he prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servant. Oh, I believe here is one who not only prayed, but he continued to pray day and night. Possibly it has the sense of praying without ceasing. He would continue in prayer until he got his answer. But then we find too, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Oh, he would judge himself, taking upon himself the sins of that people as his own in making this request before God. He owned the failure. Oh, dear ones, if trial comes upon us, may we be more interested in finding out why the Lord has allowed the trial, what his purpose for us is in the trial, than seeking to have the trial removed. It's in love to us that he allows it. May we find out, be exercised as to why he allows the trial, whatever it may be. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though the word of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Yes, though they had sinned and gone away from the Lord, yet they were still the Lord's people. And Nehemiah would pray for them. taking upon himself to own the failure that had come in amongst them as though it was his own failure. Well, he makes his supplication before the Lord. Might read verse 11 too. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now in chapter 2, there's something I believe that each one of us can lay to heart. And you, dear young people, can too, for it's a resource that maybe we too often neglect. Notice verse 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king. Love, that was a short prayer. Nehemiah had to give an immediate answer to that question, but he still took time to send up a cry. We're not told what the prayer was. But he prayed to the God of heaven. Maybe it was like Peter's prayer as he sunk in the waters. Lord, save me. We're not told the words. It could be, Lord, help me. But you know, as we go through this scene, that wondrous resource is granted to each one of us. As a problem comes up through the day, do we think of turning to the Lord and just saying, Lord, help me? Whether it be at school or at work or wherever it may be, something that troubles us, something we don't know what to do. Oh, dear ones, we have this resource in prayer. And we find, as we go through this book, I believe we do find Nehemiah showing out the truth of praying without ceasing. We find on pretty well every occasion that comes up, Nehemiah turns to the Lord in prayer. It is his resource. He had very little there, you might say, to help him, but he had the Lord. And dear ones, if we have the Lord, if God be for us, who can be against us? But oh, that we might indeed turn to him and make our requests known unto him, we can safely leave the results in his hands.